kick off quarter number four, giving you the latest on what's gone down today with the Broncos. And it's still a whole lot of talk and wonder about the quarterback play and who Sean has fallen in love with, be it J.J. McCarthy or settled on Bo Nix, who might be around at pick 12, but they did add a wide receiver today as well, Stoke. They have signed wide receiver Josh Reynolds from the Detroit Lions, did it about an hour or so ago, and he's going to come in and be one of the veteran voices in that wide receiver room. He was with the Rams early on in his NFL career from 2017 to 20, then with the Lions for a year, the Titans halfway through, and then went back to Detroit, and that's where he's coming from here, coming off of a 40-catch season with 608 yards, a 5-touchdown season, and he's going to come over here and compete for some playing time alongside Courtland Sutton, Marvin Mims, Tim Patrick, who, you know, TBD on the kind of player Tim is, coming off of back-to-back injury-riddled seasons. But Josh Reynolds, that's the latest addition today by the Broncos.
Yeah, I like the move. Low risk, high reward. A guy that was a good, solid receiver for the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
Not anything special, right? We didn't just get Justin Jefferson. We're not doing cartwheels over here.
No.
But that's not the position that we're in. Now, I know, like, Merrillat came on. He's like, you know, of course, he was Debbie Downer, and like, well, you know, the NFC Championship game was known for two things. You know, Dan Campbell, you know, going forward on fourth down, and Josh Reynolds, you know, with his two drops or whatever it was. I get it, right? Guy had a couple drops. All right, I think he had like three all year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, three
yeah,
all year.
That's
so
pretty
it wasn't
good.
Like, it wasn't like he was, you know, Jerry Jeudy in it.
Yeah,
you like that?
I like that.
Huh?
A lot.
He wasn't
yeah,
doing
like
that right?
Yeah.
He didn't have three in one game. Okay. He had three all year. So he had two drops. Guy can play inside. Can play inside. Do a little slot. Mm-hmm. Play outside. So there you go. You got a guy that's hopefully come in and provide some depth. And a guy that can play inside and outside. Those guys are very valuable. We don't know what Tim Patrick's going to look like. Hopefully he comes back and he's the Tim Patrick got old. But,
of course,
you know, you got to have some other players and some upgrades there. You lost Jeudy. You just can't roll into the season with Sutton and then expect Mims. So you got to have a backup plan, and you don't have a lot of money to spend. I really like this move.
I do
now,
too.
It's not a move that you're never – Broncos aren't going to sign anybody that we just love. Right,
no.
It's not going to happen.
No.
But we're not getting, like I said, some star wide receiver or some star defensive lineman. I mean, we don't have the type of money. But so these are the plays we got to make.
Mm-hmm.
We got a bargain shop. You got to go find yourself some Stokelys.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, the fifth wave of free agency. That's when I got signed.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, that's what you
got
to find. So good signing. I'm two thumbs up.
Yeah, and that's what it is. You just nailed it. It's March 27th. Anybody that a team signs today was not the target, was not the first choice, or not the ideal spot that they wanted to fill at wide receiver for the Broncos. But you get a guy like Josh Reynolds, it's a two-year, up to $14 million deal. I also like what you said earlier. I haven't seen the terms yet. We'll learn that as the week goes on. But I would imagine, and I would bet that all of this is front-loaded in a one-year deal where there's no guaranteed money after that and a small cap hit in 25 so that you can just say, hey, didn't work. See you later, Josh, if that's the case. So low risk, low reward, that's exactly what we're looking for.
Yeah. No, we're looking for high reward.
Sorry.
Yeah, we're not looking for low reward.
Yeah. Yeah.
We want low risk,
yeah,
high reward.
That's actually been the last 8 years.
Right. We're trying
been
to change
yeah,
that,
yeah.
Josh. We want high reward here, low risk, and hopefully that's what we get with Josh Reynolds.
Yeah.
But he's a good, solid player. Seems like he's a good teammate, you know, when you're just seems like that type of mm-hmm. guy there. So we'll see.
Plus, I hope somebody asks Sean Payton about Josh Reynolds, and then he says something nice about Josh, and then we have Coach say nice
yeah.
stuff about Josh that we get to play here on the air.
Right.
You see that?
Yeah. I see where you're that's a Zach Bye move.
Oh, really?
Like,
that's actually where I learned it.
Yeah, so, like, because someone said something about, like, you know, Zach's, you know, very talented or something. I think it was VJ. I don't know who he was talking about.
Okay.
It might have been Zach Azani, the old receiver coach or something.
Wow.
And he pulled that clip
yeah.
about Zach, and he played it all the time. I was like, all right, enough of this. So I know what you're talking
okay.
about.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
that's what Zach did.
The Broncos should hire somebody named Brandon. That's
they
good.
They had Brandon Staley, but no one ever said anything good
yeah.
about him.
You don't want your name and his name all together in the
no,
same sentence.
Not anymore.
You absolutely don't do
no,
that.
No, thank you.
Another thing I saw was Bucky Brooks' latest mock, and we don't have to go through it all, but he has the Broncos taking Jared Verse, the edge rusher. JJ's gone, but Bo Nix is available. Brock Bowers would have been available. And I started to think to myself, how does Broncos country feel? I mean, it just almost feels like it's a quarterback. I was going to say Bo Nix because that's what it is. It's Bo Nix, it's Brock Bowers, or it's nothing at all for me. I feel like Broncos country kind of lives in that of an edge rusher at 12 would, even as good as Jared Verse might be, and he's looked at as the top edge rusher here, that feels like a huge disappointment.
Yeah, or like the other one is move back. Okay, we got some assets. Sure. We got accumulated more picks, right? I mean, I could say, okay, you know, we need more picks here. No, you're right. It's not the sexy. It's not the splashy. It's not like, it's like, really? Like, we've heard about Brock Bowers for 3 years now, how great of a tight end he is in college, and, like, we could have had him. We haven't had a tight end in, like, since, you know, forever. Be nice to have a tight end. Tight ends are pretty important, right? And we didn't pick that guy. What about a quarterback? Like, we haven't had a quarterback since Peyton Manning. Like,
yeah.
Can we pick a quarterback? That, at least we can get excited about those guys. But I'll say this. I remember good old Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
Right? You know, taking a guard in the first round. And Cowboys are like, what? Cowboys fans.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're Cowboys Nation, Cowboys Country.
Yeah, that's a good
Cowboys
question.
Nation.
Cowboys Country.
America's team.
Well, that was then. This is now.
Right. America's former team.
Yeah.
How about that? America's former team, the Dallas Cowboys. Now. But Jerry took an offensive lineman. Right? That's not what the fan base didn't get excited about. Well, the guy ends up being an all pro like every year, Zach Martin. And he took a center 1 year. That guy ends up being an all pro. Like, so it might not make us excited at the time, but it's not about, you know, how we feel as a fan base. How about in a year? Is this guy Von Miller 2.0? Mm-hmm. Would you be excited about that?
I definitely would be.
Right. And so that's what matters here.
Well, I guess, and, like, minus the injuries and trying to lie on a drug test. Like, that stuff I don't really need, but.
Dang, you didn't have to do that.
Oh, that happened?
Dude, no, but that was unnecessary. I'm just telling you.
Okay.
Just like out of the blue, just sucker punching, you know, Von Miller like he was Vince Young.
I speak facts. I needed to present the facts along the timeline.
Yeah, did you see that?
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah? Were you going to react to it? Like, I thought that was a pretty good comment by me.
Was,
you just got,
was,
I got nothing from you. I thought
again,
that was pretty
I was on
good.
My I was, line, and I was
right, I
being
thought that
selfish.
Was pretty good. Like, you got to stop and acknowledge, like, how good that was.
That was good. That was good.
God, Vince got sucker punched.
He did.
And just folded. But it was a pretty good punch, I guess, right? I mean,
didn't see it coming.
Wow. Sucker punch.
You ever been sucker punched?
No. Not that I remember.
Kevin, it looks like we have an experiment to try.
I ain't swinging.
Next break. Yeah. Next break, perfect. I'm going to go to the restroom. Why now? Now you have. Yeah. Welcome to the club.
First time for everything, right. Stoke.
I'll hold the camera.
Kisner's a cameraman.
Yeah. I got a feeling Zach is down to do the punching.
Yeah, I'm sure he is. I don't know what I forgot where we were. But no, I'm talking about outside linebackers.
Yeah,
you
have
to talk
type.
About Von Miller failing drug test. I mean, goodness gracious. So, but that's the point here. We don't, and I'll raise my hand here. I'll take a big L. You know who was excited like 5 years ago?
Who's that?
Brandon Stokely when they drafted Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah, you were.
I was fired up. Well, I wish they wouldn't have. I wish I'd have been depressed on draft night and they drafted someone that I had never heard of. And that person ends up being great, right? So it's not how you feel in the moment as a fan. You got to give it some time and hopefully it works out. You got to find good football players. That's what this team needs, and that's the bottom line. So if they do pick that guy, will I be excited about that pick? No, I won't. But I just hope he ends up being a great player, and in a year we look back and say, all right, that was a great pick.
Okay. Broncos fans, how would you feel? Does it feel like it has to be a quarterback? Anything but, or even Brock Bowers, does it feel like you will be disappointed on that Thursday night in round number one? Tell us on the text line, 303-713-1043, powered by Ramos Law, or over on Twitch, twitch.tv/DenverSportsCom. I'll get over there and interact with you guys as well. When we get back, let's turn our attention back to the Avs. A tough loss. And I want to look ahead a little bit about playoff opponents and hear from Kale McCarr. We'll do all next.
You're listening to Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
He just started shaking his head right away. You're not down with this?
See, I like the singing there, it's all right, I can get down, but like the opening.
Yeah.
It's just the opening right away, just like, what is this? And, but then like, it's like, all right, that's like high school time, you know, Green Day and
yeah.
those. Let's go, skate and die.
We're rocking with you till 2. Got you till 2 o'clock when Zach Bye and Philip Lindsay take over. I want to get into a bit of an Avalanche conversation. They lose last night 2-1, couldn't overcome the Canadiens, who are not very good despite MacKinnon extending the point streak, scoring the first goal of the game in 43 seconds, but that was it. That was the only time they would find the back of the net.
I mean, think about what you just said.
What?
They scored in 43 seconds, and they didn't score again.
Yeah.
We're talking about the Avalanche,
mm-hmm.
right, with all that firepower. They scored in the first minute of the game, and they didn't get another one in the net. That's just, like, craziness.
It's not supposed to happen with this team.
No.
Not crazy. Even a little bit. And before we talk about some future playoff matchups and maybe something you start to look at when it comes to the schedule down the stretch, I want to go to the locker room here. Kale McCarr talking about the loss and something they could have done a little bit better.
In terms of, I think, adapting to what they're throwing at us, I think for us as a team, we're trying to be too cute at times, and I think simplicity is usually always the answer. That's how you start generating opportunities, especially from the defensive end and then offensive end. I mean, they block a lot of shots, but at the end of the day, we got to find a way to get around that, whether it's shooting wide or whatnot. So, I think for us, it's a lesson we have to be able to simplify.
Simplify, but he also said something in the middle of that we've heard Devontae say earlier in the season: too cute. Trying to get a little bit too cute. I didn't see that
night. Yeah, what does that mean to you when he says that?
Not making the right play. You know what I mean? Instead, I guess trying to be too fancy, like look good rather than make the right play. That's kind of how I take it. Do you take it in a different way?
Well, I think it's, instead of sometimes just putting a puck on the net, you're just trying to make the perfect pass and get a wide open shot. And like, you're just, you know, just take a shot. You got a shot, take a shot, you know, let's not, you know, try to swing it over or get that pass all the way through here to, you know, that guy that might be open. When you have a shot, let's just take a shot here. And sometimes you can overthink it. You can get a little too cute by trying to do too much there. And sometimes he's talking about simplify things just by putting a puck on the net. All right. We don't have to get this guy a shot or that guy a shot. I got a good look at it. All right, I'm going to take it. It doesn't have to be the perfect shot.
Okay.
That's the way that I take it.
And there may be something. There was a moment last night where it was it Drouin and Mikko might have had a little two-on-one action. Mikko goes over and Drouin, if that's who it was, I may be mistaken on the player, but a quick little, it's just like a one-time pass, like right back to him. That's really the only thing that like pops into my head. It was a great pass and Mikko couldn't score, but maybe that's the shot that they take rather than making that one-time pass back across the ice.
And late in the game there, it was like, it was very evident then. Like, dude, you're down one. There's 30 seconds left. You know, you pulled the goalie. It's not going to be a great shot.
Yeah.
The Canadians are falling all on the ice trying to block. I mean, like, but you got to take a shot here. Mm-hmm. And they finally took a shot, and they got a stoppage, but it was like, dude, it's like 2 seconds left now.
Yeah.
You know, it's just too late.
Oh, it's
late.
4 seconds, and they had 4 seconds for the final faceoff. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just too late then. I mean, well, you got to get it going. It's not going to be a perfect shot. Everything's not going to be perfect. Don't worry about making the perfect pass. Just get the puck on the net, and then sometimes good things happen when you just get it going in that direction. You never know what's going to happen.
Do you subscribe to the theory of, you know, dictate who you play in the first round of the playoffs? Do what you can to pick your opponent in the first round of the playoffs? Because after last night, they're second in the division. This is going to go back and forth, Stoke, over the final 9-10 games, but they would now face Winnipeg rather than a Nashville or a Vegas who you'd play as a wild card if you do win that division. Is there... I feel like that's a dangerous line to be walking.
No way.
Really? Why?
No way. Don't try to do that. Okay. You're absolutely right. Okay. No. Don't play with the sports gods.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it. Because guess what? You'll get your butt whipped by that team that you try to set up to play.
Yeah.
And you don't know how things are going to shake out in the second round or the third round. Just play ball, and whatever happens, happens. You know what I'm saying? Man, you start playing that game, that's a silly game. And that's a game that'll backfire on you. So let's just play ball. Let's just try to win. If you need to rest guys, you rest guys. But I'm not trying to set it up, I want to face this team, and then you get your butt whipped by that team. right? Because you're messing around with the sports gods, mm-hmm. and that's karma, and that's bad karma. So let's just go play ball, and whatever happens, let's go. I don't care who we play. Let's buckle up. Dude, we got Cale Makar, Nathan MacKinnon, Rantanen, Val. Like, dude, whatever. I'll tango with anyone.
Yeah.
Let's battle. Let's go. I mean, but all of a sudden you try to get cute, and the team senses that, and people know that. And then you piss the other team off. They're like, all right, buckle up, boys. And you're sending a signal to your team that you think this is going to be an easy win. No, don't. Let's not play those games.
I have some news from Val, and it's not terrible, but it's not good either. According to Jared Bednar this morning, Val is dealing with a lower body injury. Quote, it's not something long term, but it's something that could possibly keep him out, end quote. That's okay. From the coach about Val Nichushkin. And, all right, it's not ideal with the time that he missed going through the players' assistance program that he went. You want him to be around as much as possible. He's obviously a huge piece of what they are out in front of the net and on the power play. But if Jared's saying it's not too serious and you got to miss, New York's an important game, but they're also on the Eastern Conference, so it doesn't matter that much. Get right, come back to close to 100% as you can, and then really contribute in the final six, seven games, and be 100% for the postseason.
Absolutely right. Hopefully he just gets healthy for the when it matters the most, as healthy as possible then.
As fans, are you worried about it? Is this just a part of the game, right? A little lower body injury, and he'll be ready to go here within a couple of days. 303-713-1043 is where you can answer. RamosLaw.com text line. Want to remind you, we will be talking about all the basketball games in college coming back tomorrow night. And if your bracket's busted, don't worry. Ours is busted, too. That's why Sport Clips is giving you a second chance bracket over at denversports.com/hoops. You have a chance to win $1,000 if your second chance bracket is the best one, and a pair of tickets to every concert, plus the PRCA rodeo at the daddy of them all up in Cheyenne. Again, it's denversports.com/hoops. You have to sign in and get that bracket filled out before the games start tomorrow. So denversports.com/hoops. Go get your shot at $1,000 with our second chance bracket.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
All right, Stoke, we know that the Broncos are, they're not going to say it, but they're in a rebuild mode.
Dreaming about a quarterback over here.
Yeah.
That's what we're dreaming about, Scott.
They're dreaming about going to the
team. It's not all right. It's damn not all right. It's not. No, it's not all right.
Hasn't been all right for a while.
No.
To be honest. And there's a couple things coming out of the owners' meetings with Sean Payton. We're going to play in a moment that he doesn't like the fact that we're calling it a rebuild. And then on the other side of this is a team like New England that's hired Gerard Mayo, and he is a first-year coach, but they're full-on embracing it, right? It's a rebuild. Gerard Mayo has said this week two different occasions to these. He's basically asking the fans for patience. It's a rebuild. He said the R word. You got to be patient with us. So my question to Stoke, my question to Broncos country, how would you prefer your coach and your organization to handle this? Because I look at the Patriots and the Broncos in the same light. They got a lot of work to do, and they both need quarterbacks first and foremost. So that's what Gerard Mayo's saying. Here's what Sean Payton had to say about the perception of a rebuild.
You know, in our league, it's you regroup and you get ready to play. And so we're still in the midst of assembling our roster. And, I don't, if you paid attention to that, you know, there's a ton of different seasons I've been a part of that, you know, never would have had the success we had relative to the expectations. I think we got to get better in a lot of areas. We're excited to do that.
So he's not saying it. He's definitely not asking for patience. He called it a regroup and go compete. And again, like I said, the Patriots are taking the exact opposite approach. I understand why Sean's doing this. Sean and Gerard seem to be completely different ends of the spectrum. And obviously, Gerard's doing it for the first time ever. Sean's in this thing for a couple of decades as a head coach. Which would you prefer to hear, Stoke?
Well, I think I would prefer to hear the Sean Payton way.
Okay.
Right? Where, hey, look, we're trying to win, you know. But sometimes you regroup. Because every year is tough, man. These years, like, they're like, it's like when you play, man, you play a year in the NFL. It's like, dude, that's a year. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a golden year. Like, yeah. Those are hard to get, right? When it's like, you're here one day, you're gone the next. So you don't know what the future's going to look like. I like the mindset of let's try to win. Like, that's their mindset. We can say whatever we want. We're on the outside of the building. Sean Payton, how much is he getting paid?
$18 million.
Well, shoot, like, if we want to rebuild, like, and we're paying Sean Payton, like, go pay, you know, Jerod Mayo $3 million. I mean, we didn't bring Sean Payton here to come here and rebuild. Like, find a quarterback, and let's try to win football games. So that's got to be, you know, his mindset and how he views things. He's not, you know, he's not getting any younger, and these years are tough. So I think you look at it as a when you're in the Broncos situation and say, you have to keep an eye on the future here. But we're not totally rebuilding this thing. Like, we're going about this trying to win,
mm-hmm.
and trying to be successful. Find a quarterback along the way. But with our eye on, you know, future, we're not putting everything into winning right here, right now. Because our situation is a little bit more difficult than others with our cap situation and trying to find a quarterback picking 12th. So it's not ideal. So I think in this situation, that's what it's going to be. So if it was a total rebuild, I think Cortland Sutton's gone. I think there might be another player or two that could be gone along the way when you look at trying to flip this roster over a little bit, and they're not taking that approach to that extreme anyway. So I don't know. That's the way I view it. Neither one of them are good, you know, good situations. But you're trying to win. I mean, we saw last year, Josh. I mean, one and five.
Yeah,
1-5, dude. It was an awful football team. Mm-hmm. They were terrible. Look what happened. Somehow, some way, it was like, wait a second. This football team got beat by. They had 70 put up on them. 70. Next thing you know, they're beating Buffalo. They're beating Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
Like, crazy things happen, you know. So I don't know. It's not, neither one of them are really good.
And I would say, like, I actually, as much as I think it may be delusional, and I don't see it by any means, that I respect what Sean's doing because. He's bullheaded and he's stubborn enough to go, hell no, I'm never going to admit that. I'm never in a rebuild.
Bullheaded.
I'm good enough.
Bullheaded.
Is that it?
No, I'm asking you.
Yeah, that's it, right?
Bullheaded.
Like, yeah.
Okay.
Like, won't change your mind?
Right. I didn't know. Bullheaded. Is that bullheaded?
Is that a term?
I don't know.
Or is this another one of these
shaking
things
fingers,
I've made up and said my entire life?
Is that just another
life?
North Glen one? I knew what you were talking about, but, like, it just sounded weird.
Yeah.
Bullheaded.
Refusing to consider alternatives.
Right.
Stubborn.
Like you said. Yeah.
In your face.
Stubborn. Yeah. Hey. I didn't say you were wrong. I just wanted clarification because it sounded off.
Yeah.
It sounds off.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Bullheaded.
And I'm bullheaded right now.
You are. Yeah, you are. You're right about that. We didn't properly use the word.
There we go. I learned quickly.
But see, like, I actually can respect that of him going, no, I'm not about that. I'm not about taking a year off. To then be better in the future. But from where I sit and what I believe I know, I might be wrong. It's happened once or twice before. I would rather be a little bit more transparent. I don't need you to come out and say, yep, we're going to rebuild until we can find a quarterback, and then we're really going to go be competitive in the AFC West. I don't need you to say that, but I would appreciate him. I feel like he treats us with kid gloves, those in the media and Broncos country. Like, we know what situation you're in, Sean. We know what your financials are. We know what the roster looks like. And for you to think that you're going to regroup and go compete, it sounds a little foolish to me. So I would just like a little bit more transparency. You don't have to tell me you're rebuilding and, hey, this is a 5-year project. And year one, here's the plan. Year two, here's the plan. But telling me you're going to regroup and compete, you're almost calling me clueless. And I don't like that.
Yeah, and I understand that. But I think for me, like if I was a coach, I'm going into the situation like, all right, game on. I'm a great coach. I know I'm a great coach. That's what I do, right? And that's who I am. And so, like, did you see me last year? Like, I'm talking like Sean Payton, mm-hmm. right? Did you see me last year? This team sucked. Russ sucked. He was awful. I had to babysit that kid. Yeah. Like, it's like trying to, you know, coach up a Pop Warner quarterback. It was awful, right? And I still got us to 8 wins. If I can do that with Russ, I can do that with Jared Stidham. I can do that, like, so that is your thought process. That's how you view this thing. Like, I'm going to go out there and get this thing done. We're going to do it. I don't care who, what the roster, against all odds. Me against the world, me and Tupac, baby. You know what I'm saying? Oh, like, yeah. Like, that's his mindset. You got a little bit of an ego, which is a good thing.
It is.
So it's about saying, all right, odds are stacked against me. What am I going to cry? I'm going to go say wham, wham, like call up Bill.
Right.
Parcells, like, Bill, man, this is tough. Like, suck it up, Buttercup. Let's go. Mm-hmm. Game on. I really do. I think that's how he views this thing. You look at it as a huge challenge. And I'm not going to wave the white flag right now, because when I get in that team meeting with my team, I'm demanding excellence. And I'm telling them we're going to win. And I believe we're going to win. Now let's go win the damn game.
There you go.
But no, seriously, I think that's how he views the thing,
right?
You're right.
And
it's like,
him.
All right, you know, it's not ideal. It's not perfect, but I'm a great coach. And I'm going to show why this year. And maybe it's not 10, 11 wins, mm-hmm. but shoot, hey, let's get to 6 or 7, and then you never know what's going to happen there, and maybe the last 2 games. So we see crazy things happen. We look at teams before the season, like, that team's not going to be good. That team's not going to be good. And all of a sudden, like, oh, I didn't realize that quarterback was halfway decent.
Right.
You know? I mean, look at the Raiders last year.
Oh, the Texans. Look at the Houston Texans.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Texans, I mean, you had a guy that you drafted at 2, though, right?
Okay,
so
see, yeah.
We're not getting a guy at 2, unfortunately. Now, if we sucked last year, we would have, right?
Right.
But I mentioned the Raiders, and I don't like to give them credit for anything.
I know.
But they had Aiden O'Connell. I mean, they ended up having a better record than the Broncos, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
The Raiders. Yeah, they picked behind
us. Right? 13, right?
You looked up.
I know. I was like, did they?
And I'm like, damn, I'm wrong here.
Yeah.
I'm like, they had a better record.
Yeah, yeah.
They beat the Broncos twice.
Yep.
They beat them twice. Once with Jimmy Garoppolo, the other with a rookie quarterback, no one expected anything from.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't expect anything from the Raiders. We never expect anything from the Raiders. But they were a competitive team last year, unfortunately, and it pains me to say that. So why can't the Broncos, you know, be one of those teams with 3 weeks left that has 6 wins, is in the conversation, and who knows who's playing quarterback? Who knows what it looks like then? So, and I think that's the mindset from Sean Payton.
All right, Broncos country, what's your mindset? What do you think Sean is thinking here as we inch closer and closer to April's first round? We're going to get you set for the Nuggets. They got the Suns tonight on ESPN. It's a late game, 8 o'clock. It'll be after that. We're going to get you ready for that one. But I want to talk a little bit about Caitlin Clark. She's got to get past the Buffaloes in the round of 16 coming up this weekend. But she has an opportunity for what's after college basketball that I think is pretty dang cool, but can it be completed? We'll tell you all about it next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
If I don't take a sip, I'm right back on your lips. I should quit. The only problem is if I stop drinking, baby, I'll start thinking, baby. I'll hit you up, say what's up like you never said.
All right, our final segment. We are going to wrap it all up, put a bow on it for Phil and Zach. They're the drive, and they're going to get you home this evening. If you start late, we got Denver Sports tonight for you. They are from 6 to 7 every evening. They'll get you caught up with anything you missed and the latest with what's going on our website at denversports.com. We're going to get you ready for the Nuggets game. Suns and Nuggets, 8 o'clock tonight on ESPN. Figure out who's playing, who's not playing. But first, let's talk a little bit about Caitlin Clark. A couple things to talk about with Caitlin. It's the Buffs and it's the Hawkeyes again in the round of 16 where they eliminated CU a year ago. And the whole world is rooting for, it would be an Iowa-LSU matchup if both teams advance.
Oh.
So, like, the world is rooting against CU.
CU beat them last year?
No, they lost.
They lost to?
To Iowa.
To Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and what round was that?
The Sweet 16. Same exact situation that they're in right now.
Okay.
So you're better this time around, but Caitlin's better too.
Yeah. All right. But what you just said right there, everybody wants to see Iowa LSU,
yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so odds against you, backs against the wall, and probably refs against you a little bit also, right?
I thought the same thing, dude. Well, the other story that's going on with Caitlin Clark right now, because she has already said she's going to go to the WNBA after the year. Is the Fever? I think the Indiana Fever have the number one overall pick. She's going to go play there. The highest paid WNBA player a year ago, or this past season, collected $243,000 to be a WNBA player. Decent money for most folks, but that's a professional athlete. That's kind of on the low end of the scale. Like,
so she'll be taking a pay cut.
Yeah. Well, to put it in perspective, the highest paid, the best WNBA player made $243,000. Jonte Porter is a two-way G League player that's going to get kicked out of the league if found guilty for betting, made $415,000 this year.
He probably made 200 and something thousand on his
other
props.
Yeah.
That's why he was doing it.
On a little side cash.
No, but seriously, but she's making more money now in college.
In NIL, yeah.
Right, by far. It's not even close.
Not even close at all.
Not even close.
And now she has another offer on the table after college basketball, and it's not the WNBA. Ice Cube has made Caitlin Clark an offer to come play in the Big Three.
Oh, it's okay.
To play against the guys. She's done that basically her whole life. And offered her $5 million to play in 10 games.
Guess what?
What?
Today's a good day. Hit it up. Messed around and got a triple-double. Caitlin Clark.
She's going to the Big Three,
yes!
Right?
What's, I mean, dude, do the math. Do the math real quick.
Okay.
$240,000.
Okay. I don't
know. Okay, minus, I don't know, $5
million. Yeah. She's
she's going, yeah, I mean, like is it even a conversation? Like, who cares about the WNBA? I want to go make, you know, 4.78 something more.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of money. It's not like, oh, okay, it's $10,000 difference. It's $4 million plus, almost $5 million difference. Mm-hmm. I mean, wow. I don't know how you would pass that up.
Well, and then the other thing of this is Ice Cube has said, you don't have to just do the Big Three. Do both.
Oh.
Play in the WNBA and in the Big Three. And, in fact, he's already figured this out. There's only two games that would conflict one another. And I'd imagine it'd be Caitlin's choice, but pick what you want to do.
Right.
And pick the Big Three because they're paying you more.
I mean, like, and if you're the Indiana Fever, you're just like, oh, yeah, okay.
Well, they need Caitlin more than Caitlin needs them.
Exactly. So she has the leverage in this situation. It's not like, you know, you're part of an NFL team and you're okay. No, you're not going to go play in the XFL. We're paying you $10 million bucks. You know, that, I mean, this is the reverse of that.
Yeah.
The bigger league is paying you less than, you know, the littler league, right?
Right.
In this situation. Yeah. I mean, the Big Three is not the bigger league than the WNBA. But, you know, when you got a guy like Ice Cube and, you know, maybe some of the financial backing there, you have more money to throw at one person. They probably have a salary cap in the WNBA, et cetera, right? So, makes sense. All right, good for her. Go get paid. Hopefully she can do both.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee you, guess what? If she's in the Big Three, I'd watch it.
Same here.
If she's not, I probably won't watch it.
Nope.
So, there you go. That's why they're paying her $5 million right there, because they know that. She draws eyeballs.
Have you watched any of the Big Three? Like, even when it started, did you get into it?
No.
I Mahmoud played for a second. Mahmoud was like he was an idol. He was my
Abdul Raouf?
Yeah.
Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was
playing in it?
Maybe two seasons he did.
Oh, wow.
And I just love the dude. So, like, I watch him play pickup. So he was playing and I was watching. But outside
that
of that.
Was cold in college.
Oh, dude. He was like, I can't even tell you, Stoke, being a little dude that loved hoops. I'm like, I could be Chris Jackson.
Yeah.
I could be Mahmoud. He dribbles, he shoots, he does everything. I can't, but I thought that for a brief part of my life.
Yeah, I mean, he was that dude.
Yeah.
He really was.
There's a great documentary on him. Is it HBO Max? Something like that out there about everything that went into his professional life. So that's the only time I ever watched it, but I'm with you 100%. Caitlin Clark signs up, and she's out there playing and hooping up against the dudes. I'm tuning in for that bad boy, and I'm stoked that she's going to get $5 million to do it.
Absolutely.
Good work there, Ice Cube.
That's right.
Yeah. This might be his best work since Friday.
Yeah. Dude, Fridays are the best.
Well, they got a little, like Friday After Next.
I loved them all.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think, from what I remember.
The Santa Claus robbing people?
Yeah, I don't remember that.
See, you missed it, and you don't go back and find
it. Okay, but how many were there?
Three or four.
Okay, yeah. I might have stopped after two.
Dude, that's it. That's all you
need. I just pretend like I watched them all, yeah. But I loved the first two.
Oh, yeah, real good.
Yeah.
Or Anaconda. I was a big fan of Anaconda.
Missed it.
What?
Yeah, missed it.
J-Lo, Ice Cube?
Missed it.
Dude, that's a classic.
Yeah?
It's an all-time classic. Okay. If you watched it now, you'd hate it.
Right, but exactly.
In 94, it was the bee's knees.
Okay.
Yeah, bee's knees. That's what it was. All right, so what would you think? Would you feel any different way? Would you watch Caitlin Clark out there hooping it up with the big three? I'll probably find some WNBA games to watch her and see how she plays at that level, but I'd prefer to see it in the big three.
Yeah, I won't, honestly, in the WNBA. I just won't. I mean, I have a hard time watching, you know, MLB on TV.
Yeah.
And some of these NBA games on TV. So I'm not going to watch WNBA games. I just got other things to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be on my phone. I'll be, you know, doing different things. But if it's in the big three against guys, like, that's something different. Like, all right, go school with these guys. Let's see it. I love it. I would then, but WNBA, that's not for me.
That's fair. Another quick question. Did you see the NFL announcement? Do you remember they are doing in-season Hard Knocks now?
That's right.
Or it's been a couple of years,
and
maybe.
And again, like, I haven't even watched that.
One was
with the Colts. One was with the Dolphins.
The Dolphins, that's right.
And one was the Colts did it one year. Did the Cardinals do it?
I think the Colts just did it.
They did.
It was just this last season.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
I thought the Dolphins was this last season. Dolphins was the season before?
I think so.
Okay, anyway, I haven't even watched that.
Well, they're getting away from it. It's still in-season Hard Knocks, but they're not going to highlight one team. Starting this year, and they didn't announce it yet, but they're going to highlight an entire division. So it'll be, let's use us, right? The AFC West will be on the in-season Hard Knocks. There'll be an episode about the Chiefs. There'll be an episode about the Chargers. There'll be an episode about the Broncos. There'll be an episode about the Raiders. And then they'll probably rinse, repeat one more time and call it a season.
What do you think about that?
If it's my division that I care about, I'm into it. But I also like the Colts and didn't watch a single episode of that. So I guess it will be, you know, maybe if it's in the division, I watch the Broncos episode of it. I don't really care about what's happening behind the scenes in Kansas City, Los Angeles, or Vegas, though. How about you?
I think I might like it.
You would?
If I could sit down and watch it.
Okay.
So, especially if it's in the AFC West, of course, that would be really cool, obviously. But it's interesting to me to think, like, all right, we get to see every perspective, whatever division it is, you know. You get to see it from the Ravens, the Steelers, the Browns, and the Bengals, you know, like, okay, you get to kind of see everything, how it's breaking down. Well, that team had a tough stretch there. Well, that team's balling right now. And then maybe you revisit a little bit later and, you know, that team's on a winning streak. I just think that's kind of a cool dynamic, something different. So possibly for me on that. That's something different. I'm kind of into it.
Look, they're trying something new because I'm sure a lot of people felt the same way you and I felt. Like, yeah, cool idea. Probably not going to watch it. Well, add a little bit of flavor to it and see what you can get. All right, let's talk some Nuggets. Let's preview this game tonight. It's the Suns. It's the Nuggets. It's at 8 o'clock down at Ball Arena. Tip-off probably coming shortly after. How are we feeling about these Nuggets and their chances with Beal and Nurkic still questionable? Let me find out if I can get a final answer on Jamal and Aaron Gordon, who are also listed at questionable. But you should have Nikola. You should have Michael Porter Jr. How do you feel about the Nuggets? And
KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver.
That's a great call.
Lesnar, come.
Counted too quick.
Yeah. No, dude.
You started talking at like 58.
Oh, my gosh.
57, 58. That's what I did yesterday.
No, it wasn't 58. 59, I started talking. It was maybe even zeros.
Great call, ref. Great call.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You were thinking about it?
Well, now I'm going to give Kevin, I'm going to tip him a little something in the front of his pocket.
Were you thinking about it, though? Were you on it?
No.
You didn't even know. You forgot.
Uh-huh.
I thought you knew.
I didn't. You were quiet for a long time, and I was like,
well, because you were talking. What do you mean? Like, because you were talking. But I was more quiet than normal.
More quiet than normal, yeah.
Normally I interrupt you.
Well, like, at least, like, when you're listening, you're looking at me.
Right.
You were quiet and just all over the place.
Just like my head down, my eyes down, my hands like, don't look up.
Because if we made eye contact, I'd have known what was going on.
Okay.
But yeah, I was off.
Let's move on.
How are we feeling? Nuggets tonight? And then obviously the question is, Nikola, triple-double.
Oh, that's right. Of course I love the triple-double. What are the odds? Because they do something right today. Golly.
Well, I've been just perfect today.
Okay, yeah.
I'll finish strong.
According to yourself.
Plus 230.
Oh.
Wow. Wow.
Might not have Jamal or Aaron Gordon, though.
Listen, I don't care. Right? I really don't care. Odds are big for a reason, okay? And Vegas usually isn't wrong all that often, okay? But they are wrong sometimes, mm-hmm. okay? And that's where I'm at. And when you get odds like that for Jokic, playing a Nurkic, right?
Yeah. Nurk's questionable.
Right. I mean, I don't care who he's playing with. I don't care if he's playing with Josh Dover, Kevin Kisner, Drew Spivak, and Zach Bye. I'm still taking him to hit the triple-double. Uh-huh. So I love the odds. I'm going to be locked in tonight. I can't wait for this game. It's going to be action-packed, man. Suns, they need to win bad.
Yes, they do.
Their back's against the wall to make the playoffs right now. They got a tough stretch coming up. They had a bad loss to the Spurs. They're coming in here trying to win this game. Hopefully the Nuggets are healthy. Hopefully Jamal plays. Hopefully Aaron Gordon plays. And let's go run this thing back. They had a tough loss against the Suns a few weeks ago, but it should be a good one. Late night action, man. I can't wait. Let's go get that triple-double.
Yep, feeling real good about it. I just looked through. It's still officially questionable for Beal and Nurkic, and it's still officially questionable for Gordon and Jamal. But it looks like Nikola and Michael Porter Jr. are going to go. I wonder what another night looks like for CB. He's coming off back-to-back performances of 17 points in each of them, one of which he got a start. I wonder how he continues that, almost like evolving in real time on the offensive end of the floor.
Yeah, he's done a nice job, especially with the extended minutes, getting in that starting lineup last game. We'll see what it looks like for him. So I'm not like... I still expect them to win if Gordon and Jamal don't play. Yeah. I do. I just do. You're playing at home, and as long as Nikola's playing, I still expect that team to go out there and get a W. Hopefully at least one of them can play.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I'd be really shocked if Aaron Gordon wasn't playing. Now, Jamal's a different story, so hopefully at the most we're just out one guy.
Yep.
But hopefully they all can play. But I'm looking forward to it. Should be a good one.
I am too. Zach Bye, Philip Lindsay sliding in here. Gentlemen, how you doing today?
Great. How are you guys?
We're doing good.
Great.
We're doing good.
Great. Great, Zach.
What's going on here?
Yeah.
I feel like there's something.
No, I'm just happy to be here. I'm happy to see you guys.
Oh, good. Yeah,
Phil.
No crying today.
No crying today.
All smiles and laughing.
Yeah.
Just all smiles and laughs.
Here. I feel like I don't trust you two right now. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, they got that weird
and
look
I don't
on
like
their face.
It.
Right.
Yeah.
I think I'm with you. Like
I don't
they
like
did
this.
Something.
I literally just walked in. I've been here for 30 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
I have no idea what's going on with Phil.
Other than Zach calling me earlier today saying, hey, man, I just want to know, you know, what you wearing today. What are we wearing? What are we wearing today? I said, I'm wearing red shoes.
Uh-huh.
And look at my man. Red shoes.
Okay. The red Converse.
I have red shoes on.
Nice.
Yes.
Those are cute.
Yes. With
like
a red shirt.
Shoes.
You have red shoes on too. Blood in, blood out.
Wow. Goodness gracious.
I don't know why. I felt like this tension when you guys came.
No, I literally just came racing in here.
Okay.
I've been a good day. I played basketball again.
Oh, wow.
I haven't played basketball in 3 years. I played twice this week, and I went back and beat that freaking dude who beat me 2 days
you
ago.
Did.
I did.
You got
I did.
Him.
Did you know
I did.
He was going to
beat
him?
You found him.
Yeah, I kind of was like, are you come here around this time? And he's like, yeah.
And you just
took a picture.
You showed up. You just showed up every day until he was there. Like, oh no, this is my first time back. Hey, buddy, let's go. Game on. Revenge, baby.
Oh, it was awesome. So that like made my day. Even just playing twice, getting a little wind underneath me is just it's crazy.
Was the guy mad?
No, he was disappointed, but it's all friendly. But it's crazy the endorphins that like fire within me.
And then afterwards.
When I get to play basketball.
Yeah, afterwards.
Yes.
Right. After.
Yes.
And then you look forward to it before now.
Yes.
Exactly.
And you know, on Tuesday or on Monday night, dude, I was in bed sound asleep at 10:30 because I moved my body in a way I haven't in years.
Yeah.
And I you know, I had like to have a little cocktail at night. That thing got poured 90 minutes later than I normally do because I'm like just recovering.
So
I'm
you,
like,
yeah. You actually poured it after the kids went down instead of way before the kids went down. All right, it's good to know. All right. No, Daddy'll be back in a little bit. Daddy, you didn't have your drink tonight.
No. I took care of that.
You know what? You just got yelled at. You're gonna get yelled at.
I'm gonna get yelled at again. Because I'm being mean to Zach. Yeah. Okay.
I tell us all the time.
My wife loves Zach a lot more than me. What do we think about tonight, fellas? How we feeling about the game? We looking forward to it. Big matchup. You could care less. Like how big is this one for y'all?
I think very rarely do I look at the number and say, I'm going to bet that. Mm. And it's 6.5 tonight. I am betting the Denver Nuggets to win and cover. I am.
What about with just real quick, Jamal up in there, Aaron Gordon up in there. You're going to monitor that first?
Definitely. But I'm expecting everyone to play. Bradley Beal left the game. Mm-hmm. Yusef Nurkic left the game. Yeah. He plays Jokic tough.
He does.
He takes it as a personal physical challenge, and he beats on Jokic, and they're not calling a bunch of fouls post All-Star break. So I just think, and it's a payback game. Guys, the Nuggets have lost 2 games since the All-Star break, and we remember them off the top of our head because it's like, there's only two.
Yeah, that's
why. It's an overtime game, and it's a left-hook walk-off buzzer beater.
Exactly. So it's a payback game. It's a rematch of the playoffs. I think the Nuggets actually have an opportunity to run Phoenix off the floor tonight. Mm. And that would not shock me at all. I'm bullish on the Nuggets.
See, tonight. I'm the opposite now. Now, the Suns are one of the only two teams to beat mm-hmm. the Denver Nuggets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I feel like you're going to have a Booker situation where Booker's coming back. You got Durant sitting right there. We don't know about Bradley Beal right now.
No,
right?
I don't think he's going to play. Okay. I don't think.
And if Nurkic does play, is he going to play?
He didn't practice yesterday. We don't know yet. Yeah. So there's a couple things up in the air.
Yeah, but if Nurkic does play, this is one of these games, and I know it's a home court advantage for the Denver Nuggets. You really have to watch out for it. I really want to see if Booker and Durant, what they do together, because they haven't had a lot of time on the court together. But if both of them could click at the same time, that could be scary, not having someone like Jamal Murray playing. We don't know what kind of MPJ we're going to get.
Yeah.
Me, personally, if MPJ's dealing with some stuff off the court, I would just let him sit down or kind of go home and kind of reflect on what's going on, mm-hmm. To be honest with you, because there's a lot of stuff going on in that
we talked about
life.
That earlier, like, speaking hey, real life
which,
problems.
Speaking of which, I'm glad you mentioned that.
Mm.
This is one of the biggest stories in sports right now, and it's hard to find.
Jonte?
Yeah. We had an NBA player bet on games and bet on himself to lose. This is a massive story, and it's not being treated like one, and I think I know why. Who is the leader of sports information, just in general? What outlet?
ESPN.
ESPN, yeah. By a country mile, with all due respect to FS1, Fox, all this stuff. ESPN is so deep in bed with the NBA in a multi-billion dollar deal, but what else happened this past year with ESPN? Is one of the least talked about things. Do you guys remember that Barstool and Penn Gaming fracture?
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, David Portnoy gets to rebuy Barstool. That was
a billion dollar?
Yeah. That was a $1 billion deal that they did. It fell apart. What did Penn Gaming then do?
That's ESPN Bet.
That's ESPN Bet.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
That's ESPN Bet. So you have a league that has invested interest in the NBA naturally for billions of dollars, but now they're personally tied in the gambling world. You can't find the story. It wasn't on their top headlines. And with all due respect to whether it's UConn women's basketball or Ice Cube or the Broncos signing a wide receiver, this story is massive and it's not being treated like it.
Wow.
Yeah, that's interesting. The ESPN bet aspect of it too. Now, you know that they're paying a lot of money. They're partners with the NBA.
Yep.
But you add that other dynamic to it, and it's like it is a head scratcher. You know, Otani stuff was happening too.
Yep.
But this is whether he bet or he had his buddies bet. You know, obviously, like it's hard to ignore all the facts of that situation.
Yes.
And it's a bad look. But you're right. It's kind of like. Poof, oh, yeah,
and you know that's going to happen with Otani. You know they're going to try to find a way.
They're already trying.
Oh, yeah.
And it's
see, I look at it different because I heard you mention it. Like I don't think he did anything wrong.
Otani?
Yeah, I think I don't.
Really?
Think,
yeah. Look at that smile! Look at that smile!
Hey!
No.
What?
Come on now.
I have got to tie half my brain behind my back.
Not me.
To think that's okay. You can leave yours in a pretzel.
If there's a smile in the air, the rest of your fire
stays. I don't have to do anything. Perfect.
I know.
Right.
know. But you changed the story three separate times within 72 hours and drastically changed it. Not just on the fringes. I mean, this got drastically changed.
Wait, he changed it.
Ohtani and his interpreter.
The initial story. No, but Ohtani didn't change his story. The interpreter changed his story.
Yes.
Because I haven't dug into this.
But it also took Ohtani a week to say anything at all.
No, not a week.
He had to get his eggs in. He had to get the basket in there.
They were overseas, too. Got to get back. Got to get hydrated.
I forgot they don't have cameras over there.
He just got married. The man just got married. He was probably on his honeymoon.
Right.
Oh, okay.
But when this, we have to remember, it's not just an interpreter. These guys are best friends.
Yeah.
They've been tied at the hip for over a decade together. And when the story changes three different times and you have multiple wire transfers, that's the thing. It's like the initial story was I got in such debt that I had to go to Ohtani for $4.5 million. But when you look at the transfers, it's like there's a $500,000 transfer. There's a $400,000 transfer.
You got to space them out. You can't just do four and a half at once.
Why not?
Because the red flag's everywhere. Zach, so you got to do 500 here.
Oh, that's the red flag.
Yeah. You never wired $4.5 million? I do it all the time. That's what I got to do to stay below the radar, man. It's right there. No red flags for the wife. The feds aren't looking for me and IRS isn't looking for me.
All right, perfect. Ready? So how about you have a bunch of... A bunch of friends, right? You got friends. Right. How many of them know your routing number?
Well, they're not my interpreters. If I had an interpreter, he would know my routing number.
Like, think about that. Wait, how did he get into your... I just have to overextend my imagination.
Aren't they on your checks and stuff? Like, you got checks. I mean, you got your routing number on your check.
Okay, but a routing number's public. I'm just saying routing number to say routing number, but he's got his bank information.
Yeah, it's not hard, dude. You got bank statements laying around, dude. Otani's playing games, and it's very easy to do. Sometimes people, when they have that much money, that much success, they kind of just like are doing their thing. They trust you.
Otani knew what was going on.
I don't. Well, he might have known, and he might have tried to help his buddy out. I think he's a normal human
who's got a bunch of money, who, like Phil Mickelson, Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, loves action. And it's like, you know, we were talking to Mike Kliss. We talked a little bit about this yesterday. It's like, he was like, you know, Otani's, I can't believe, I refuse to believe he's a good dude. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I know a lot of good guys that like gamble on sports. Like, America does that.
I just think
he's a human being. Yeah. I think he's got a buddy that's next to him all the time that kind of gets to maybe bet for him or, you know, whatever the case. But
I just think
there's too much smoke for me to not believe there's some flame there.
I believe in Ohtani. I believe he's telling me the truth.
Guess what? I like him more.
He's your guy now.
All right.
He's my type of guy.
We are off and rolling. We have so much to react to between the Avalanche win streak being snapped. We have a big game national TV with the Denver Nuggets. More stuff coming out of the owners' meetings. But first, out of nowhere, the Broncos swung for a wide receiver in free agency. What do we make of the new addition? That's where we'll start, coming up next.